All right, time for us to move away from books to cars. And it is always a pleasure to welcome motoring journalist Chira de Siena of cars.co.za to the show. A couple of you have already sent your questions through, Clive and Donna and others. Thank you so much. We'll get to them in a little while. And a reminder that if you would like to ask a question about your purchasing decision, call us on 021-446-0567 or send a voice note on 072-567-1567. You're very welcome to email your question to pippah@capetalk.co.za or to send an SMS to 31567. One last thing, just a reminder, please don't ask about valuation of vehicles. That is something we will rather direct you to online resources for an accurate valuation. Chira, always great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us and welcome to this week's edition of the show.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you. Always great to be on your show.
Let's start with a bit of motoring news, and I believe it has to do with Renault and insurance. Tell us more.
Yeah, it's not the first time Renault have done this, but they're bundling in free insurance for a year on the purchase of a Clio and a Sandero for the first time. They used to offer it on the Quid, and Datsun used to offer it on the Go. I'm not sure if they still do, but the Clio and Sandero products are new, the insurance products at least.
Okay.
And the insurance amount, obviously, being covered by the dealer or the manufacturer, the idea is that they'll try and get the insurance cost as low as possible. So I suppose as a piece of consumer advice, there's two things to look at. One is, can you afford the car in the first place? And I think that the reality is for most of us, we are going to finance a car. It's potentially the only way you can afford to have a car. So I think for a lot of people, the purchasing decision is simply how much money do I make a month? How much money goes to expenses, living costs, etc.? How much can I spare for a car? So when a dealer offers, you know, a brand new car for $1,999 a month with insurance included, no questions asked, that is very tempting.
Yeah.
And I think the things to look out for is one is the balloon payment, or otherwise known as a residual. And quite simply, this is loaded onto the finance to bring your monthly installments down. However, there's two really, really sort of nasty things about a balloon. One is you pay interest on that amount for the entire loan period. And the other is that when you come to the end of the loan period, you still owe that amount. So if the car is, say, worth 70 or 80,000 rand at the end of the loan period and you've got a 70 or 80,000 rand balloon, it means you're going to make absolutely nothing when you sell the car,
yeah,
which forces people into a spiral of just getting into the next car and getting the next higher purchase. The other thing I think to look out for is, obviously, if the manufacturer dealership is going to bear the cost of the insurance, they're probably going to look at putting a lot of restrictions on the insurance to keep that cost as low as possible for them.
Yeah.
And when it comes to this is something, and not necessarily just on these deals, but I took shortfall insurance on my car when I bought it, and I do recommend it to people. And essentially, shortfall insurance will kick in when the insurer pays out on your car in the event of a loss, a complete loss, a write-off or a theft.
Okay.
And it will pay out the difference between what you owe the bank and what the insurer pays for you, for the car. And that can often, or is often, a substantially huge, there's a substantially huge difference between those two. And that can really put people into a lot more debt and means you have to then refinance that difference. And then you're in a horrible position where you're paying off a car you don't even own anymore.
Yeah.
So all these things. And again, I think the advice is always just really read the fine print, you know, take the contract home with you, go through it, make sure you understand it as best as possible. And for a minimal amount, I think shortfall insurance is probably worth it.
Kind of sounds like the gap cover of motoring, Chira. I'd not heard of the term before, so I'm really glad you flagged it for us. And I just also want to repeat what Wendy Nola always tells us, that it is so important to shop around and ask questions and interrogate the different providers about what they're offering you when it comes to the insurance. I've been going through the process myself of obtaining quotes because I'm contemplating a move. And I mean, the quotes have ranged from the sort of scale. There's an 800 rand difference between the lowest and the highest per month. And then you look at the fine print and you realize that what seems like six different quotes on the same thing actually isn't. It's really important to dig deep. If you only ever read the terms and conditions on one document, this is the one to do it, isn't it, Chira?
Sure, yeah. And I think, you know, obviously with short-term insurance, the insurance will pay out the retail or close to market value of the car, which is essentially which essentially decreases all the time. You know, as soon as you drive that car off the showroom floor, the retail value of the car drops by 15 to 20%. So you immediately have a shortfall between what you finance the car for and what the car is worth and what insurance will pay out, you know, from minute one of car ownership.
Okay, thank you so much for the heads up on that and really important reminders there. Before we take any questions, a new car review for us. You've had a taste of the latest iteration of the Mini, I believe.
Yes, I've been driving one of the more affordable Minis around. In saying so, it's still 408,000 Rand. But it is one of the base models with a smaller engine. So it's actually a 1.53 cylinder, which is quite interesting, okay, which you'll find in quite a few BMW products and quite a few Mini products. Very impressive motor, actually. I've been enjoying it. I'm actually, funnily enough, out in Creighton at the moment on leave.
I'm so sorry we're interrupting your leave.
No, of course. No, I love being on the show. It's not a problem at all. But on the road out here, I actually thoroughly enjoyed that car. It handles really well, almost like sports car handling. Mini like to go on about go-kart handling. I don't know how entirely accurate that is, but it really is fun to drive. I was very impressed with the cabin as well. Great fit and finish, really high quality materials. It looks a little bit like a slot machine in there. There's a few too many colored lights and dancing lights for my taste, but you know, quite funky, if I can use that word. I don't particularly like to. But the one thing where I think, you know, the engine falls short is on paper, it's the average fuel consumption should be 4.9 liters to the 100. And the best I've managed to get it to is 8.
That's a big difference.
Which is massive, 75% difference. And I was thinking about it, you know, what other industry are you allowed to claim something that your product can do and it can be 75%
out? I mean, we know you've told us before that obviously those fuel consumption claims are made in sort of perfect driving conditions and a very carefully managed sort of staged driving. But still, even allowing for that fact, a 75% discrepancy is huge. I'd be interested to hear Wendy Nola's thoughts on that one, actually.
The European Parliament, European government tried to get rid of the old way of testing, which they mostly have, and we've moved over from what was known as the NEDC cycle to the WLTP cycle, which is supposed to be a more real-world figures. And you will have noticed that on some manufacturers' models, if you look very carefully at the fuel consumption, what was claimed last year is now quite different to what's claimed this year. And the amount this year is actually high, or the new amounts are higher. So they're more realistic, which is great. I think we're getting closer to real-world figures.
That's much more transparent. Absolutely. That's so important.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the update on the 2019 Mini Cooper. And with that, we open the lines on 021-446-0567. We'll start with an email that's come in from Don, who is considering purchasing a BMW 1 Series or a Honda Civic Hatch, both petrol engines with automatic transmission. He'd like your views on those two cars with specific emphasis on safety and maintenance costs beyond the motor plan or warranty period. He says, I'm nervous about the high cost of replacing the turbos.
Yeah, the what I would look out for in the 1 Series is, Pippa, the listener say he's going new or used?
He didn't specify that, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I suppose asking about out of warranty maintenance might mean he's going used. But the what I would look for in the BMW, for a while, BMW did a sort of cooperative project with Peugeot Citroën and developed a 1.6-liter turbo, which was sold in their 118 models. That engine is known to be quite problematic. And I actually helped someone recently who it was quite frustrating. The dealer actually just plainly lied, said they don't have the car. Meanwhile, the car was in the workshop for 10 days, having the turbo replaced and all the rest of it, with 75,000 on the clock. It's a really unfortunate incident, and I don't think that dealer is going to get any more business from that family.
Yeah.
But that engine, I've had people who have it in their Peugeots contact me and say, my engine's gone. I've had people in their Beemers contact me and say, my engine's gone. Same as the Mini. It was also sold in Mini products. Personally, I would avoid that engine. So that's something to keep in mind. The later models, I think, moved on to a 2-liter. I don't think BMW sells that engine anymore. In terms of the Honda, the Hondas have an excellent reputation for reliability. All the data we have from our consumer survey shows that Honda is actually the most reliable car on South African roads. So if you're looking for reliability, that is the brand to go for. However, what I have heard is that replacement parts for Honda are some of the worst on South African roads. But as one owner said to me, it doesn't matter because the thing never breaks.
So that's
sort of what you're weighing up. You know, in terms of product for product, it's interesting to me that somebody is considering a German rival and a Japanese rival, because often people shop pretty much exclusively from the German brands or pretty much exclusively from the Japanese brand. People don't often cross over. So that's quite interesting that he's looking at those two cars. I would say that both are going to be really, really close in terms of refinement and comfort. You might find that the Honda has a lot more tech and features in it. They tend to load their car, whereas German manufacturers tend to want you to tick a few boxes, which drives the price up, you know, so you can get all the comfort features.
Okay.
So I suspect that if you're looking for toys, the Honda might offer a bit more.
Fitted as standard. What about the safety? Will they both have similar airbags, ABS, etc.?
I think at that level, there won't be much between them. Six, possibly seven airbags. The seventh is normally a knee airbag underneath the driver, underneath the steering wheel, which protects in the event of a collision. But six airbags is plenty. I really like the idea of curtain airbags. I think that if you can afford it, curtain airbags are very good in a car. They actually pretty much saved my sister's life in a Mercedes-Benz in a T-bone accident. So, yeah, she'll tell you that she'll never buy a car without curtain airbags ever again. Yeah, so that's something to consider. But ABS, EBD, that's all going to be standard on cars like that.
Okay, thanks for the extensive feedback, Don. I hope that's helpful to you. Let's go next to the WhatsApp line. Mike in Peniel would like your opinion on the Chevrolet Captiva 2014 seven-seater. Now, I know when you say the word Chevrolet, immediately people worry about support for the brand in South Africa, but specifically the Captiva 2014 seven-seater. Your thoughts on that model?
I did get to drive both Captivas. There was a diesel and a petrol available. The diesel I found quite impressive and particularly frugal, actually. The petrol motor I found to be one of the thirstiest cars I've ever driven. So keep that in mind. It seemed to be a very old petrol engine that, you know, the efficiency was sort of from what would have been expected maybe in the early 2000s, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And also the problem is, you know, for all that thirst in a car like that, you don't get any oomph, you don't get any power. So if you're towing and if you're full up, there's such a lack of torque in that petrol engine that you're wringing the thing's neck to get anywhere. And that, of course, makes the consumption worse. So I'd personally stay away from the petrol engine. I'd look at the diesel in terms of day-to-day running costs. Of course, there is a trade-off for that. There usually is with these things. And that is the cost of the components of a diesel engine almost always cost more than an equivalent petrol engine. So if you're maintaining a 2014 car, you can expect for some of the replacement parts to be pretty dear. And you know, that's unfortunately the trade-off with that one.
Okay, just remind us as well, Chevrolet support in terms of support in South Africa for after-sales support and parts, etc. Any concerns there?
I wouldn't mind sort of being, you know, potentially getting corrected on this. Maybe there's somebody in the audience who might be able to call in if they have more information. But from what I understand, the parts warehouse is still being operated and parts are still being imported. So at the moment, I don't think there would be particular issues, maybe on some, you know, some parts that don't break down very often and that you might have to import. But, you know, the reality is that's sort of the situation with most brands, maybe excluding brands like Toyota and Volkswagen. But, you know, in my experience, when my Suzuki was an accident, I had to import a front bumper because they'd run out. And you'd think that a front bumper is something that would be kept in large quantities because it's obviously the first thing that goes in even
any
a tiny accident.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's difficult to say, you know, or to compare brand to brand in terms of parts availability. But I, from what I understand, like I say, that the warehouse is still being maintained.
Okay, thanks. If anybody listening is a Chevrolet driver and wants to give us a recent update, if you've had to replace parts, etc., and you wanted to share with us what the experience was like, how long you waited, etc., we'd welcome a voice note to 0725671567. And of course, we're also still taking your calls for Chiro on 0214460567. We've got about 5 minutes in hand, so if you're planning on phoning, please do so right now. Clive on the WhatsApp line would like to know about the Mercedes B180. the 2010 model in terms of efficiency, reliability, and economy. Is there anything else I should be aware of? He asks.
Yeah, always difficult to comment on a car from sort of that period or a car that is 9 years old now. Yeah. And I suppose the reason is that every car lives a very different life. The car might have been driven really hard and there's been a lot of wear and tear on the engine, or it might have literally, you know, been driven to the shops and back once a week. Yeah. and then maybe you're in for less issues. So, always difficult to comment. I don't remember any particular issues with that car. I suspect that there will be a number of mechanics out there who would be willing to service at private service centers so that you don't have to go to the dealership and, you know, pay the exorbitant labor rates and parts rates. Finding parts might be a little bit of an issue. I don't remember the B-Class selling well and selling in large numbers. So that could be potentially be an issue. But no, like I say, I do remember driving that car, and I don't remember reading or hearing about any particular issues with it.
Okay. Thanks for the question, Clive. Richard wondering about the Honda Jazz Sport. Is it worth the money for a hatchback? Tell us what separates the Honda Jazz Sport from the regular kind that I drive. Chiro, what's special about the sport model?
From what I remember, it has a few bits and pieces on the outside which make it look faster. Okay. I think the engine's been cranked up a little bit for a little bit extra power, but other than that, not terribly much separates the two. I remember test driving the car and I did quite like it, but one of the issues for me was that you can only get the Jazz Sport with a CVT gearbox. And I suppose any sort of driving enthusiast out there, petrol head, will tell you that that's probably the last gearbox you want in a sports car. I suppose just to remind the audience, it's essentially a gearbox with no gears. It works on a series of bands and cones, and it keeps the engine speed constant for the driving conditions. And it's just possibly one of the unsportiest experiences that you could hope for in a car. So, I'm not sure why they didn't bring it in with a manual, which would have made it quite a fun little car to drive. But personally, if I was looking at a Jazz, I would just go for a lesser model, unless you really, really like the exterior sports kit and it really does it for you. But I'm not sure it's worth the price premium.
Okay, thanks. Thank you to Alan, who is SMS to say, I stand under correction, but I was under the impression that the Thorpe Motor Group had undertaken to continue providing after-sales service and parts to Chevrolet owners after GM pulled out of South Africa. Thorpe Motor Group. Alan, thanks for that feedback. I had a feeling in the back of my head that there was somebody who'd sort of said, we will continue to look after the flock after the shepherd has left the country. For how long that endures, I don't know. But for now, it would appear. Thanks, Alan, for that feedback. If anybody can add additional detail to that, we'd welcome an SMS. I think we can squeeze in one last quick question from Jane on the WhatsApp line, who is thinking about a Daihatsu Terios, wondering, is it worth considering for soft 4x4s, is the term she uses, more camping in the Cedarburg than driving into the Delta?
It's funny that Daihatsu comes up because that's another brand that left the country. They did a deal with a local supplier to maintain the parts warehouse for 9 years. And I think they pulled out about 6 years ago. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, if that contract doesn't get renewed, then sure, then it's going to be quite difficult to maintain a Daihatsu. That being said, excellent reputation for, you know, like Honda, for just not braking. Fairly straightforward, you know, little naturally aspirated engine, no turbos or anything, manual gearbox, nothing too major to go wrong in those cars, fairly easy to maintain, I would suspect. And in terms of the 4x4 ability, yeah, fairly legendary, actually. No low range, but for light 4x4, you don't need it. Very, very comfortable on a gravel road. I remember spending quite a lot of time in that car. And it is quite renowned as a sort of like the kind of Jack Russell of the 4x4 world. Just seems to be able to tackle anything, you know, in spite of its size and its power. So yeah, I think if you live that sort of lifestyle and you don't need a particularly large SUV, then the Terios remains quite a popular option. And I actually suspect that it might sort of hold its value because you can't get them anymore, and they're fairly sought after. So you probably won't even lose too much on the car, and that's always a nice feeling.
And everyone loves a Jack Russell, don't they? Chiro, thank you so much for leaving us with that beautiful picture and for chatting, especially given you're on leave. Appreciate you making time for us and enjoy the rest of the holiday.
No problem. Thank you.
Chiro de Siena of cars.co.za. Remember to visit their website for more information, and don't forget about their YouTube channel to see all the fun he has comparing different vehicles.